dying of laughter.
It's not funny.
My mom has stage 4 cancer in her bones and in her breast. My dad's disease was 15 years, he died of ALS. I made a podcast about death, seemed like the thing to do. And if you're sad by all of this, well, you're gonna die too.
Good morning. My first episode officially has been out for 4 days. I released my first interview on Friday with my friend and comedian Courtney Lloyd about losing both of her parents within 2 years while pursuing her MFA at USC. You know, I'm just so in awe of someone like her that speaks as eloquently as she does, having very recently experienced those losses. A couple quick things that I'm excited to share that might be of interest. The Comedy Bible. It is the go-to book when it comes to comedy, how to get into comedy, how to write comedy, specifically stand-up comedy. I can't recommend it enough if you are a comedian or someone with interest in comedy and want to know how to write your first few jokes. This is the book for you. And I'm lucky enough to know the woman who wrote it. She's having a Welcome to LA kickoff for the publication of her new books, The New Comedy Bible and The Comedy Bible Workbook. So you can get to work with the woman, Judy herself, whose comedy workshop has launched the careers of today's top talents, including Seth Rogen and Hannah Gadsby. Hello. It is this Sunday, January 26th, from 12 to 3 at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. We're going to have her on this podcast in March because she also has experienced loss when she was younger. So looking forward to talking to her more about that. Excuse me. Meanwhile, if you want to go to her workshop, it's $25 and I'm going to be donating one ticket to someone who is listening. So I just something that I want to do. I believe in giving back. And in this workshop, you'll learn how to find your signature topics, write current event or political jokes, turn your dysfunctional family into killer routines, get advice on getting paying gigs. The $25 includes a glass of champagne and a signed book in addition to the workshop, so I think it's super worth it, which is why I want to give someone a ticket. So if you're interested, you can screenshot a picture of this episode on your phone and you can put in your stories and tag me at _Chels_who_else_ and you can tag Judy Carter too at Judy Carter Comedy, and I will choose someone in the next few days. Hey now, this is what dreams are made of. And you can reserve a spot at themessageofyou.com. It's been a long weekend in a good way. After the launch on Thursday, it just was so much more, you know, X, Y, and Z than I thought it would be. And my mom was in town for the launch, which was amazing. And so then she was here and we were just kind of tying up loose ends, talking about how we felt about the experience and I guess some highs and lows of it all, just to be honest. So a high being the event was everything that I really could have dreamed for it to have been. We sold it out. You know, 50 people came, which is amazing. There literally wasn't room for anyone else, which was unexpected because in Los Angeles, you know, I think I'd sold like 15 tickets a couple days before. And then all of a sudden, like the last 2 days, it was just crazy. And then 50 people. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? The speakers were, I mean, they were out of this world. Erica Silver, genetics counselor, and Devon Seidel, actress and previvor, talking about how they got where they are today was just perfect. And it was cool because I had spoken with both of them on the phone. And, you know, I consider myself to have a decent gauge on people's shtick, you know, which is why I had chose them. But it's always kind of nerve-wracking since, you know, we hadn't met in person formally and just kind of like being like, whoa, you know, this is the whole event is about these people and I hope it, you know, goes well. And I mean, it was just great. And they're so open and sharing so much information about their personal journeys and what it means to have BRCA. A challenge was, I thought this is actually a great problem to have. I was so happy with, I thought, wow, I really kind of wish I had recorded this because I would have loved to have shared word for word the exact things that they were saying was just so spot on. And then it was, you know, some people have asked, like, can I listen to to the, you know, I couldn't make the party. Can I hear what they said? So I will be recording them separately, which the good news is the audio will be even higher quality at that point. But I would say I was a little bit bummed with myself that I just hadn't quite figured out how to do that in time for the launch. But the pizza came on time. I got tomato pie pizza, which is some of the best in LA, in my opinion. There was a cake. There was some balloons. There was a sign. I mean, I don't know. It was just simple and fun. And of course, so for my actor friends out there, I had an audition before that of course, you know, came in last minute, as it does. It was a good role on Grey's Anatomy, auditioning on Thursday. But, with Thursday before the event, I had all these errands lined up and places I needed to go and to pick up the catering and to go to Costco. And there was some programs I'd printed out with speaker bios and some discount codes for various stuff. And that was the one thing I did not get to the programs. And I had done most of the prep work way in advance. This was just a couple last minute things, which is why they say don't do anything last minute. But of course, you know how it goes. And I was in the waiting room for about 2 hours, which from actor pals, they know that is not typical. 30 minutes can be typical, 20 minutes, 40, sometimes an hour for a commercial, but usually for a theatrical appointment, 2 hours. I think that was, you know, not the huge. And I just thought, oh, well, that's so funny because I have this like big event. I only panicked like once. There was one point where I was like, wait, maybe am I going to be late to my event? And then I realized, no, I'm going to make it. So it's all good. You know what? People will be fine. I don't think anyone even noticed. The goodie bags were super cute. I was happy with those. To-do list is this amazing organization where they have these really cute post-it notes and writing pads and things that you can, you know, they just all these paper with printed pictures of breasts on it. I'm not describing it well, but they're just so cute. And everyone got one of those. And I just love them. They made me so happy. And what else? Oh, and then little business cards that I thought were really cute that I got made on Vistaprint. I use Vistaprint and Moo cards for business cards. So everyone got that. And yeah, my mom was talking about how she was actually kind of sad at the event, which I thought, you know, was interesting. Obviously, no one would have known. You know, she looked great and she was chatting with everyone. And I was so excited by every single person who was there. I knew personally with the exception of a few new people who had seen about it from online, which was really cool. But mostly everyone I knew, and I was like so excited by all of them coming. I know everyone's so busy, so that meant a lot to me. So Erica, the genetics counselor, her mom is a survivor, and her aunt lost her battle to specifically metastatic breast cancer. And how Erica talked about how some of that inspiration was how she got into genetics counseling and inspired her to become a genetics counselor. And my mom was saying how, you know, that information is just kind of easier said than done to digest when someone's inspiration for a potential career is because someone in their life died of the same thing that you have. That becomes an interesting conversation to navigate and to, you know, witness. So kudos to my mom for holding the space to support me while also digesting information about her own diagnosis that is not always the most pleasant. And I think she's come a long way. I mean, that's kind of this whole journey that I'm going on must be a lot for her in that sense. So more on that later, but I was kind of feeling like, oh, wow, you know, that was hard to hear. But I also appreciated her honesty because I can't even imagine. I mean, of course, like as soon as she said that, I was like, that makes sense. So again, I'll interview Erica at a different point, but I just wanted to get some of this information out there ASAP. So we talked about the BRCA genes. If you don't know what that is, BRCA genes are tumor suppressor genes, and what that means they prevent uncontrolled cell growth and abnormal cells from turning into cancer. So everyone has two copies of the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene, And if you're a BRCA carrier, you have a mutation or a change in one of your genes. Okay, I'm afraid I'm going to just confuse everyone. So we all have the BRCA genes, but if you have a mutation, that's when you are at risk. So there's BRCA1 and BRCA2. They can be inherited from a parent or passed down from generation to generation. So you might have someone, your grandparents, your great grandparents, or someone, cousins, or someone that had a gene at some point that you might not know about. Or if you're adopted or just have lost touch with certain family members, or your family members aren't open or don't choose to be, these are all common reasons why you may not know about your family history. BRCA mutations affect about 1 in 400 people. However, individuals of Ashkenazi Jewish descent are affected about 10 times more likely. So that's approximately 1 in 40. Close to 1 million people in the United States are estimated to have a BRCA mutation, but less than 10% of those people are aware that they have a BRCA mutation. If you have a BRCA mutation, you have up to an 85% chance of getting breast cancer and an up to about 44% chance of getting ovarian cancer. Men can be affected. So I know this is a lot of information and it can be confusing. And please, please, please remember, I am not a medical professional, obviously, or I guess not obvious if you don't know me, but I'm just really passionate about sharing this information. Currently, there is no medical board, association, or organization that recommends everyone get tested for the BRCA mutation. These conversations are very nuanced and complex, and realistically, not every doctor has the time to speak one-on-one to their patients about this information. My personal opinion, again, opinion, is that every single person seek an appointment with a genetics counselor. A genetics counselor is someone who is trained in both the science and the emotional context of that science. They are trained in a way that they understand the biology of what they're talking about, and yet they also are trained in how to speak to patients and individuals about their genes and their family history and their risks. They're that perfect balance in my mind between the doctor and the therapist, and that profession is called the genetics counselor. If you see a genetics counselor, you do not have to proceed with genetic testing. Let me say that again. If you see a genetics counselor, you do not have to proceed with genetic testing. Just because you have an appointment doesn't mean they're going to take your blood that day and tell you all the stuff you don't want to know. No. You can see one and just simply talk to them about the broad strokes of your family history, if you're aware of it, and what they might recommend you do in terms of what makes sense for you and your testing journey. So what age should you do this and how do you go about it? I believe your 30s is an appropriate time to proceed. Here's why. In college, I think you have a ton going on. You're young, you're busy, it's just a lot of information. But depending on where you are, if you have a family history, you obviously need to consider, not obviously, you need to consider doing this sooner rather than later. If you don't, that's also fine. But I think when you turn 25 is an appropriate age. I think 30 is an appropriate age. I think 35 is an appropriate age. I think 40 could be an appropriate age. Why is there such a range? I can't tell you what's best for you. I simply want to plant the seed that if you have a milestone birthday coming up, and if any of this conversation is speaking to you in some way, please, I encourage you to make an appointment with a genetics counselor. That is it. Start there. Talk to them, see what they recommend. And like I said before, there's no medical board, organization, or community that is suggesting every single person should go through with genetic testing because it is such a nuanced and personal decision. If you are Ashkenazi Jewish descent, 1 in 40 people will carry this mutation. It is my personal belief that every single Ashkenazi Jewish person living should proceed with genetic testing. I am Ashkenazi Jewish descent. I fall in this category. Why am I so passionate about this? Well, unfortunately, it's very common for women who are diagnosed with breast cancer to then find out they had the BRCA mutation. How is that helpful? To find out that you could have known you would likely get breast cancer once you have breast cancer. I'm advocating the suggestion of meeting with a genetic counselor so that you are not that person. Many, many people who have breast cancer do not have this mutation. So how do we prevent those cases? Unfortunately, we don't quite as easily have an answer for that. Again, this goes back to continued screening. So breast health means understanding what you're supposed to do for yourself. So I would say once a month, feeling your own breasts in the shower, looking in the mirror, feeling for any lumps or abnormalities, masses, things that feel strange. That's something you can do on your own. Self-checks have been proven to have found a lot of cases. Just because you have a lump does not mean it's cancerous. It could be benign, and yet that is still very important information to have. And you can have that handled relatively easily. Even stage one breast cancer is very resolvable. When you start getting into stage three and four, it is a much different beast. My mom's original diagnosis was found between stage two to three. She has said so herself. If she wonders if it had been caught earlier, what might have happened? Okay, I will leave you with that. You can have your doctor or gynecologist feel your breasts for you. Do a manual exam. They won't always offer it. That is something I make sure I ask for. I do mine twice a year. So one with my doctor, one with my gynecologist. It usually happens. And if not, I'll be like, hey, I would like to do a manual breast exam today. And they're like, okay. And if you're like me, when they're doing it, you can talk to them about your feelings / stand-up shows / what you had for breakfast. Banana raspberry smoothie with collagen powder, flax, spinach, and apple cider vinegar and agave. Lots of agave because I don't play when it comes to things needing to taste real good. No one needed to know that. Mammograms are recommended for age 40. Typically at age 40, you begin your mammograms unless you have family history or sometimes other factors, it can be complicated. But in general, if you're 40 and haven't had a mammogram, please go get one. If you have some kind of history, such as myself, is recommended 10 years earlier before your person was diagnosed. So my mammograms would likely start at age 34. If your person was diagnosed at 30, you would not get one when you were 20 because they also recommend doing it after age 30. So that's a little complicated, but my mom was originally 44, so I would begin a mammogram at 34. Meanwhile, I do have a doctor and gynecologist manually feel my breasts twice a year, and I also once a month in the mirror do a breast health check. I personally have not done genetic testing yet, and here's why. My mother did genetic testing first 20 years ago when she was first diagnosed. She did not have any genes that said she was a potential carrier of breast cancer. Cut to today, technology has gotten a lot better. There's a lot more thorough tests they can do. She was very resistant, but ultimately decided to undergo genetic testing again. And again, she was not someone who had any genes that said she could potentially have breast cancer, which is really interesting. If she had been a carrier of BRCA, had a BRCA mutation, that would have meant that I had a 50% chance of also having that mutation, and it would have been time for genetic testing ASAP. Since she does not, I could still technically be carrier from my father's side. It can come from any side without any necessary history that you are aware of at all. So I will still be doing genetic testing at some point, likely within the next year, maybe two. I am on my own journey with that, and I'm going to open up and share more about it when I decide to proceed. But because my mom, who is the person at risk, does not have the mutation, it puts me, as far as we know, into a category that's sort of equal to any other Ashkenazi Jewish person, which is still 10 times more likely to have a mutation than another group. That said, I have spoken with, in person, on the phone, or over my blog community, dozens of women who are previvors, which means you have a BRCA mutation. I think I've only met one who is fully Jewish and one or two who is half, and everyone else has not been. So I just mention that because it doesn't mean that you're not Jewish, you're not going to have this mutation. If no one in your family has ever done any kind of genetics testing, I know it can be scary or feel very foreign to be the person who suggests that your family move forward. Remember, it's knowledge is power, and there's things that you can do if you find out you're in this pool of people. If you have a BRCA mutation, it does not mean you are for sure doomed and going to get cancer. It means that you have information that you can now decide what is best to do next. Many women choose to get a double mastectomy, which means having your breasts removed. I know that is a huge deal. There's a lot of emotional, psychological factors that go into making that decision. And yet you're reducing your risk of breast cancer from up to 85% to about 5%. So ask yourself, is this information of interest to you? Is that something you're open to doing? Perhaps ask someone in your family, mom, dad, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, grandparent, cousin. Now I'm just listing family members. You're like, guys, I know what a family is. Thanks. If anyone has done this, and if not, will it be you? Don't forget, meeting with a genetics counselor does not mean you are drawing your blood that day or at all. You are simply talking to them about what you might want to do. And maybe in your 20s, maybe make a mental decision that when you're 30, you're going to do this. If you're in your 30s, maybe this is something you consider doing in the next year or two. If you're in your 40s, I would encourage you to take a next step soon as well. At the end of the day, I feel a lot of personal kind of turmoil around talking about this, and then maybe someone I know finds out they have a BRCA mutation and how I could feel somewhat responsible for that. But look, I've seen how breast cancer has affected my family. I've seen my mom go through this for 20 years. Granted, not the whole time. Many, many years in the middle that she was in remission. Thank God. But the fact of the matter is, breast cancer caught early is very resolvable. Breast cancer caught later on is much, much, much more nuanced, difficult, and to be honest, stressful, and you know, it's just its own beast. I'm inspired by my mom's journey to get this information out there so that even though not everyone with breast cancer can find out in advance, someone out there can. Some of you can. That's kind of incredible. It's kind of mind-blowing. I really want to help you navigate that journey. It's just so important to me. And I hope that someone out there can take this information and feel, if you're feeling overwhelmed, that's completely understandable. Maybe someone out there feels a little bit empowered too. Like, wow, I didn't know that. And now you do. My dad's ALS journey was crazy. There's not a gene to find out if you're going to have ALS. So as much as I am passionate about that and care about people with ALS, it's so much less common and there's less we can do about it. And that sucks in its own way. But this is something we can do. If you're feeling so lost and that this is so foreign and you have no idea what I'm talking about, just remember, you're a little bit more knowledgeable than you were an hour before. You're a little bit more knowledgeable now than you were 40 minutes ago. So I'm curious, what inspired action are you going to take this week after listening to this? Are you going to call a genetics counselor? Are you going to do more research? Are you going to put a date on a calendar in a year when you might revisit this? Are you inspired to share this interview or strike up a conversation with a family member? Are you inspired to Google BRCA and learn more? Remember, Google is a dangerous place. Everything's going to sound really scary, and just take it all with a grain of salt. Congratulations on getting this far and being open and proactive about your own health and decision making. I personally, you know, will do my best to respond to anyone who reaches out to me and has questions. dyingoflaughterpodcast@gmail.com. I'm also on Instagram @_ChelseaWells_. I feel inspired. I feel energized. I'm here for you. Let's figure this out together, and looking forward to dropping another interview this week. Thanks so much for supporting me. This is a brand new journey. After LA and San Francisco, the third biggest city right now is Corpus Christi, which is amazing because I've never been there and I don't know anyone there. So if you're from Corpus Christi, thank you so much for listening along. Shout out to the Corpus Christi. Oh, not Corpus Christi. Nope. That is another episode. Corpus. Nope. Not Corpus. Just the Corpus. What's up, Corpus? Corpus with the porpoise. Your porpoise is to be here. Oh, God. Intro and outro music is by Liz Full. The cover art is designed by Austin Ray, and the photography is by Naomi Christie. Produced and edited by your girl. That's right, it's an all-female team. Austin is a girl. Holla! Yodo, you only die once.